It's All About Food with Karen Hartglass, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thanks for joining me today. It's a very cold day in New York. And we're all doing our best to stay warm and enjoy ourselves. It's an interesting day today. Perhaps some of you have heard, maybe a little too much, and some haven't heard at all, but it is the 30th anniversary of the death of John Lennon, and I can't help but think about his song, Imagine, which I haven't sung in a while. I am a singer, and I do like to sing this song. The words are so profound, and 30 years later, they still have so much great weight and meaning. Simple song, and just great, great words. Maybe I'll hum a little bit for you later. Not just yet. But the point is that we're all living on this planet together. And if we connected the dots and thought about all of us sharing the same planet, that means sharing the same air, sharing the same water, sharing the same earth. For ourselves, and also for future generations, if we were more mindful about just that, it would be such a beautiful place, a better place. And I think that's basically what he was saying, that if we all lived on this planet together, realizing we share these very basic and simple necessities, and that we lived today, we would be a lot more careful about the things that we do. And so this show is called It's All About Food. And food is another one of those very simple things that we can't live without. And we talk very often about how our food choices affect those other very precious, simple things that we cannot live without, the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the earth, the soil from which we grow our food that's necessary to sustain us. Imagine all the people living for today. So when we talk about food and our food choices, there are foods that we can choose that not only give us great nutrition, but also are gentle on the planet. And there are other foods that we can choose that can do a great amount of damage. So we talk very often about factory farming of animals, where animals are confined in these horrific conditions, living in their excrement and filth, and their gases help to contribute significantly to global warming and all of that. And then there are plant-based ingredients. Now, I'm always encouraging people to consume more and more whole, fresh plant foods. But thanks to technology and thanks to scientists and even chemical engineers, I have a master's in chemical engineering, and sometimes I'm quite ashamed of my What would I call it? Those folks that share that discipline, because we've created things in the laboratory that we call food that should not be called food. And we're going to talk about one of them today. And with my guest, we've got David Burton on today. And he's the director, writer, and editor of a film called Ingredients. Ingredients. A little bio here. He was raised in the sticks of southeastern Connecticut, and he's always been amazed by the human body and how it functions. He received his Associates of Science degree in nursing in 2005 and has since been working as a registered nurse in the hospital setting on medical, surgical, cardiac, and intensive care units. He now lives in Tampa, Florida, continues to work at a community hospital while pursuing his independent filmmaking career as president and founder of Sir Rebel Films. David has shot, directed, produced, and edited 3 short films, 2 music videos, and a documentary. And he has spent 2 years writing, directing, and editing the documentary Ingredients, a film that has successfully blended his career as a healthcare professional with his passion for filmmaking. And he's currently focusing all his efforts on getting Ingredients into every school, healthcare center, and home in America, and plans to continue making movies that entertain and make a difference. David, welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for joining me. I imagine in Tampa it's not quite what it's feeling like here in New York today.
No, man, it is not. We have a little bit of cool weather come through the other day, but it's warming right back up into the 60s for us.
Yeah, well, I don't think cool means the same thing down there like it means here. It is freezing.
Yeah, well, I'm from Connecticut, so I know all about the cold weather.
Right.
I get to come and visit every now and then, but just to play in the snow as opposed to shoveling it.
Yeah, well, you know, there is a difference to that when you acknowledge you're going into the cold snow for playing. It's very different.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so let's talk about Ingredients.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Thank you very much for having us on. We really appreciate it. We love what you do with the show.
Thank you. Well, this is really an important topic.
Yeah, chemicals in the food, it's getting out of control. That's why I made this movie. Seeing all the disease in the hospital and the sick people and how much of that should be prevented with dietary changes and exercise. It's just overwhelming how much people that are in power to make the change aren't saying that. And then that just kind of leaves the rest of us to pick up the pieces and try to spread this message because it's, for some reason, not getting pushed as much as it should.
That's right. Now, what's interesting is you're a nurse.
Yep.
And many nurses really care about their patients. Sometimes we talk about nurses being more on top of things than some of the doctors in a variety of situations.
Yeah, they're certainly the biggest patient advocate from the bedside in the acute care facility setting.
But even so, I don't know exactly what you learn in nursing as compared to what doctors learn in nursing. I know the doctors don't really get a lot of background in nutrition. Do nurses?
We do. We get a couple semesters of it. I don't think we get enough.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly get a lot more, I think, than most physicians. And I think maybe not more training, but I think they put more emphasis on how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly not enough. I mean, I learned about nutrition in school a couple of semesters. We learn about carbohydrates and fats and proteins and when, treating certain diseases by changing people's diet, that sort of thing. But nobody really tells you how much you can really prevent the diseases from the get-go if you are eating properly.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? I want to think that at some point we're going to get that, but we're not there yet.
It seems that the system's really broken, but the problem is the system is so profitable and nobody's really working hard to fix it.
Well, it's profitable for a small group. It's not profitable for everyone.
No, it isn't.
And as a result of these frankenfoods or these whatever you want to call them, these highly processed foods, they make us sick. and is a significant cause to why we're so unhealthy, which raises our health care costs significantly and is just wiping out the economy. So it's really linked. A few people might be making money, and they're unfortunately making the decisions. But I just think it's a lose-lose-lose.
It certainly is, and that was one of the biggest motivators behind getting this message out there, pulling it together from a nursing perspective. I mean, I think one of the big deciding factors to make the movie was once we found out about hydrogenated oils, trans fats, all the chemicals in our food supply, how toxic they were. Once I started talking to some cardiologists and dietitians at work, and they didn't know, that's when the producer, Jay, and I decided we have to make this movie. I mean, the people that are really in the position to be teaching these people about food aren't doing it.
It's really surprising to me, maybe because I'm so focused on it all the time, but I keep thinking this information has gotten out, and yet so many people still seem to be in the dark. And is it just because they've only heard it a handful of times and it hasn't sunk it in, or they don't want to believe it? I'm not really sure what it is. But as a nurse, I'm in awe, actually, that you had the opportunity to do this film, because I could imagine that you could be really frustrated working in the system the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
I had a personal experience a few years back where I was treated for ovarian cancer, and it wasn't pretty. And I was in the hospital numerous times with major surgery, and every time I was lecturing to the doctors, to the nurses, to the dietitians, and it just blew me away, the garbage that they served you in the hospitals to begin with. This is a place where people are supposed to be getting well. So I'm not sure how you felt about the food that's served in hospitals.
Just, I mean, obviously I'm appalled by it.
Yeah.
I think it's disgusting. Like a prime example of you, our movie's mostly about partially hydrogenated oil. That's the main ingredient we speak about.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about other ones, and we have segments on aspartame on the DVD, and we talk about bleached flour and the enriched vitamins and a lot of different things, but it's primarily about hydrogenated oil and the fake fats that are in the food supply. And an example that we notice is when someone has, say, open-heart surgery or any type of surgery, you come out of surgery and you can't eat anything. And the first time you can, you go on a clear liquid diet.
Mm-hmm.
You chicken broth, which has partially hydrogenated oil and sodium glutamate.
Lots of salt.
And then as soon as you can eat something solid, we move you along to some crackers, and the crackers have
partially hydrogenated oil.
It just goes on and on, where we're just giving you the stuff that made you sick to begin with
right
out of the gate as soon as we fix you up with some surgery, and we'll see you again next year in a couple months or whenever that is.
Okay, so how was the veil lifted for you with partially hydrogenated vegetable oil? When did you see the light?
Well, it started on a hiking trip, honestly. It was a backpacking trip with some buddies of mine, and one of the guys complaining about, he had bought these granola bars that had partially hydrogenated oil, and now he had to carry them because he didn't want to eat them. And he had been complaining throughout the trip, and we were kind of getting almost annoyed with it. And we came back and started doing some research. And it was really the folks up at Harvard, that Walter Willett and Dr. Meir Stamfer, those guys run the nutritional department and the epidemiology departments up at Harvard. And they've been doing these long, long-term studies, over 30 years' worth of information gathered up on the hydrogenated oil specifically. And they've been going on the record they were toxic and trying to petition against the FDA to have them removed and just coming up against so much opposition. And this is Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the defining moment for us. Once those guys said to be in our movie, we knew we had, like, the godfather of trans fat research on our side. That's when we kind of put everything we had in a full feature-length film on it. Definitely a big deal.
Now, why do we have partially hydrogenated oil in foods?
Well, there's a couple different reasons, and the biggest one is that it's cheaper and it lasts longer.
Cheaper than regular oil.
Which normally what they would put in the products that have partially hydrogenated oil would be butter or lard or things like that that we've always baked with, just regular oils, fats. But when you have to have a cookie, and you know, if you make a cookie at home, it's good for a few days or a week, but it doesn't stay good for months.
Or years,
but on the grocery store shelf, that's not possible. You know, foods are made on one end of the country, shipped on the other end of the country, or maybe the other end of the world, and they have to sit on the shelf for months and months, and the end consumer expects it to taste exactly the same, no matter where they bought it, no matter when they bought it, and no matter when they eat it. So this whole desire to have a fat that they could use in the food that doesn't break down, that was one of the reasons. And once they started using it and finding out it's much cheaper, so it's cheaper, it lasts longer, it doesn't break down, and the demand for processed food is astronomical. Everybody wants something pre-made, out of a box, ready to go. Nobody wants to take the time to prepare their meals anymore. So you've got a huge demand for it as well.
Yeah, I'm always encouraging my listeners to find their kitchen. And there are many people here in New York that spend tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars renovating their kitchens, and they're gorgeous, but they never go in them. And we really need to learn how to prepare food from the simplest of just washing lettuce and making a salad. People have just really forgotten how to prepare simple, healthy food.
And that really is the answer to so many of the problems that we face today.
Absolutely.
I mean, when we do our teachings, and I go into school, I'm going to school again Friday to a middle school, so I get to sit and talk to 13 and 14-year-olds all day long about exactly what we're talking about. Diet and disease are actually connected. And when we talk to, say, their parents, the first thing they come across with is, I can't afford it. I can't afford all these fresh fruits and vegetables. Only afford 99-cent box of macaroni and cheese. But when you really start breaking down their budget and how much they've already allocated for food, when you take in restaurants, fast food, and all these little snack items in between, there's really a lot more money there available.
Absolutely.
Back to what you said, we get them into the kitchen and taking that money that they normally spend, taking their whole family to a restaurant, and putting that into the grocery bill. And lo and behold, you have wonderful organic meals that you can make at home, and they taste better, they're fresher, they're better for you, and it's a win-win situation. Like you said, in the kitchen.
Yeah, well, history has shown us over and over that many, many communities that are in poverty survive, and survive often very well, on beans and rice, or beans and a grain. And they're like the least expensive foods out there. And you can even up the value a notch and buy organic beans and organic grains. And you can do a lot of great things with them. And they're really inexpensive. And you can prepare big batches of it at the beginning of the week and freeze them or eat them all week. It's just easy, healthy, inexpensive.
You have to get away from it. It might take a little more time sometimes, but does it really take more time than getting in the car and driving out to the restaurant and using up more gasoline and all of that?
Yeah. So let's get back to partially hydrogenated oil, because this is really a fascinating topic. And so we understand that it's something that improves the shelf life of foods. Now, personally, I don't think it makes food taste fresher or taste fresh. I haven't had hydrogenated vegetable oil in a long time, but as my memory serves me, the foods can still taste stale when they're old. And I really, my palate is very sophisticated at this point, because I'm always eating high quality ingredients, and when they're not, I can taste the difference. And when I mean high quality, I mean fresh, I mean whole, I mean full of nutrition. and not smothered in sugar, salt, and fat.
Yes.
So, okay, what do they do to us when
the
we consume partially
oils do inside your body is essentially they cause heart disease and diabetes.
Oh, yeah, everybody's got those.
And those are seem to be the two biggest killers.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's concerned about their cholesterol these days, and there's a lot of conflicting information about what your number should be and how much of it you should have and that sort of thing. But it's undeniable, the research that shows that when you consume hydrogenated oils, it actually increases your LDL and it increases your HDL.
Mm.
So the cholesterol that we know we're supposed to have higher, it goes down, and when the cholesterol that's a little lower brings it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a double whammy, and no other food in our food supply does that.
Mm.
Some foods that aren't so good, maybe they raise the bad one or they lower the good one, but neither one does the inverse.
Wow.
And then they cause inflammation. Now we know inflammation has a big part to do with heart disease and hardening of the arteries, which is, you know, arterial sclerosis. And then you've got the whole diabetic thing where they increase insulin resistance, which means it makes your pancreas have to make more insulin to do the same job as it normally does.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are only getting that from the processed sugar, which is probably a close number two for the worst food in our food supply, and many would argue, and I could maybe even agree, that it could be number one because it's so prevalent.
Right, or maybe just the high fructose corn syrup, but that's another movie.
That's my next movie. That's actually the next movie we're working on.
Oh, yeah.
Is corn syrup and sugar and all of that. So, and then your third component is the obesity. They absolutely increase your body size abdominally. So trans fats increase abdominal obesity, which is the worst place to actually carry excess fat, which contributes more to heart disease.
And diabetes. No, there are certain types of fat in different places that will contribute more to diabetes. I think.
Yeah. So now we're back.
Yeah, when you're putting more pressure on the pancreas too.
And then if you start looking at it, all the diabetics, statistically, diabetics die of heart disease. So it's this vicious circle that you're tied up where obese. The biggest way to combat diabetes and heart disease is by exercising, and when you become obese, it becomes more difficult to exercise. So you're in this cycle between the diabetes, heart disease, and obesity, and if you look around, those are the diseases that are climbing the roof. Diabetes type 2 has gone over the past 100 years from non-existent to a third of the population. That's astronomical.
Well, we used to call it adult onset diabetes, and now more and more younger people and children are getting it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it wasn't even adult onset diabetes 100 years ago. You were either type 1 diabetic or you weren't. Either your pancreas worked or like that. And then all of a sudden we had type 2 come about where later on in your life your pancreas kind of stopped working from eating so much of the processed sugar and processed food, and now that's happening in children. So we're essentially using up our pancreas in 10 years now, 15 years.
Well, I quote Jack LaLanne very often, and he said, if man made it, don't eat it. And there's a lot of truth to that, because certainly there are a lot of things that we've created that we put in foods that are really dangerous, and partially hydrogenated vegetable oils are certainly one of them. Now, you have children?
Yes, I have one daughter. She's 5 now.
Oh, yes. That's a great age. And so has she ever had partially hydrogenated vegetable oils?
Not a whole lot. I'm sure she's had it because in this day and age,
it's really hard.
It's difficult to control her diet 100% of the time. I'm only with her so often, and she has to go to school, and she has to go to birthday parties, these sort of things. So she's had it before, but she's going to grow up to be quite a healthy little girl. She is quite lucky that her mother and father found out this information when she was 2 years old and started implementing and changing our whole diet house then. And she lives in a pretty healthy household now.
Do you communicate this information with friends and family in the schools about what you want and or how you want her to avoid hydrogenated oils?
Yeah, we do. And let me tell you, making changes like that are so incredibly difficult. I'm pushing on it, and we are, you know, slowly and methodically making our way through the school systems and the hospitals. My hospital won't change where I work, and I've worked there for 4 years.
Have they seen your movie?
I know they've had to see it because I've handed it to hospital administrators, and I know a lot of nutrition. Every nutritionist there has a copy. If you're a dietitian, I personally hand it to my cops. I give out copies of the movie at work all the time, so a lot of different people, and I have a lot of supporters that are employees there that talk to patients about it. We got actually quite a movement going on there, but they haven't screened the movie or anything like that. Again, it's really tough sometimes for a school or a hospital to get behind our message because we're coming out in the movie and telling you that the hospital don't really push this type of information, and the food pyramid is upside down, and the FDA is not really there to protect you, and the food companies don't care about your health.
And hospitals and schools, they're probably the most that are focusing on really poor financial situations and trying to cut costs everywhere they can.
Yeah, so even the school that I'm going to go to this Friday, and the teacher's going to have me speak to every one of her students for 7 periods in a row, I'll speak, you know, for 50 minutes 7 times, and so I'll probably get to talk to several hundred students. But we can't get that change that I'm talking about enacted in the cafeteria.
What age groups do you speak with?
Mostly it's been middle school. I've spoke to children younger, and I've spoken to some older and some colleges, but primarily the middle school age is just what's happened. I mean, it's kind of interesting how it works. If I call up a school and say, I'd love to come and talk to your kids about this idea, they're usually pretty standoffish.
Yeah.
My idea, and it's my movie, and of course it's great, it's mine, right? But what happens sometimes, we get articles written in the newspaper or on the radio, and a teacher sees that or hears it, and if they invite me in, then I get in 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll usually have a good turnout, and the kids like it, and they start learning, and the teachers ask me back the next semester. And that's how the movement started here. So I have several teachers that just keep inviting me back, and through word of mouth, it keeps on spreading like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way it is with a lot of things. When it comes to food, you really need the invitation, because if you're just trying to get your message across, you can really get a lot of resistance.
And honestly, I prefer speaking to somebody that's, say, 13 years old anyway, because they are more accepting of this idea of change.
Mm-hmm.
They're only changing what they've done for a couple of years, not maybe a couple of decades.
Yeah, there are some studies, actually, that show that middle-aged students are more open and receptive to this information than high school students, so it's a good time to get them.
Well, especially if you tell them, hey, I've got some information that your mother and father don't even know. If you could bring it home and share it with them, now they're thinking, wow, I'm going to teach my family how to eat.
David, I want to talk a lot more about your film and about foods that have partially hydrogenated oils and a lot of other things, but we need to take a quick break, so stay with us, and we'll be right back, okay?
All righty.
Thanks.
This is PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, this is Dr. Mayor Eisenstein. Every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, I will be coming to you live on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I will bring my background as a physician and as an attorney to help you with a minimal pharmaceutical and a minimal surgical approach to your medical issues. Please come join me.
So to join in on the conversation, call 888-874-4888. Ask Dr. Eisenstein, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on Progressive Radio Network.
Hey, did you miss your favorite show? Don't worry, PRN has you covered. Just log on to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com and go to the archive page where you can choose from any of our great programs. Listen or download shows from yesterday or even ones dating months back. The Progressive Radio Network, striving to make your lives easier.
South of the border.
Hello, I'm Johnny Mueller, and I have a brand new show called The Expat Files. And it's all about living, working, playing, or retiring in Latin America. I know what it's like to buy land, build a house, start a business. I've been through it in a dozen Latin countries. So, if you're thinking about moving down, or you're just curious, be sure to listen in, Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Down Mexico way.
This is Glenn Ford. Join me and co-host Nellie Bailey every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Black Agenda Radio, an hour of news, analysis, and commentary from a black left perspective. That's Black Agenda Radio on the Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Carol Brier, host of Community Currency on Progressive Radio Network every Thursday, 5 to 6 p.m. Please join us as we connect people, ideas, important information, and discover solutions to some of the most urgent problems facing us. Every Thursday, 5 to 6 p.m., Community Currency on Progressive Radio Network.
This is Peter Roth, the host of Energy Stew, which airs on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. My show interviews fascinating authors, inventors, and researchers of new understandings, techniques, and discoveries that can enhance and transform our lives. What is our potential and how can we fulfill it to the max? To find out, tune in to Energy Stew and Peter Roth at 8 p.m. Thursdays on Progressive Radio Network.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. It's all about food. Thanks for listening. And if you're listening to our live show and you're curious and have some questions or comments, you can always call in at 1-888-874-4888. And I know many people listen in the archives or don't have access to a phone or are at work and really shouldn't be listening. Whatever it is, you can send me an email anytime during the show or during the week with comments or questions. Love to hear from you. My email is info@realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org. And I am talking with David Burton, and he is the director, writer, and producer of a great documentary called Ingredients. And you can go to the website ingredientsmovie.com, and I want to spell that because it's kind of tricky. It's ingredientsmovie.com. So there's a little play on words there with greed in the middle of ingredients. David.
Yes.
You're with us. Okay, I wanted to just talk about one of my favorite foods and two brands in particular, and I want to read the ingredients. So, something a lot of people eat, especially kids, is peanut butter.
Oh, boy.
And Skippy's ingredients, I'm reading it on a website here, roasted peanuts, sugar, partially hydrogenated vegetable oils, cottonseed, soybean, and rapeseed to prevent separation, and salt. And then Jif says, made from roasted peanuts and sugar, contains 2% or less of molasses, fully hydrogenated vegetable oils, rapeseed and soybean, mono and diglycerides, salt. And there you go. They both have hydrogenated oil. And one of my favorite questions to kids is, what's in your peanut butter? And they look at me like, huh? And then I say, well, what should be in your peanut butter is peanuts. And in my peanut butter, there's just peanuts. I don't even like salt in my peanuts, but I wouldn't get all crazy if I had salt in my peanut butter. But we don't need this other stuff in there. And the way Skippy describes it is, it's to prevent separation.
Yeah.
Have we gotten that lazy where we can't stir the oil into the peanut butter?
I don't understand how we're trading in diabetes and heart disease for stirring our peanut butter, but we
are. And if you stir it and put it in the refrigerator, it doesn't separate?
It's amazing. And bread is so close, is very top of the list for hydrogenated products also. So this whole peanut butter sandwich is just such a toxic combination for a lot of people to eat this.
Right. Something that should really be so simple and so basic.
And was for so long, and probably has been a wholesome snack or wholesome meal, especially for younger kids.
And then you add a little Smucker's jelly, and you've got your high fructose corn syrup on top.
I was just going to say that jelly. It's so hard to even find a jelly without high fructose corn syrup. That's pretty much all they are, is high fructose corn syrup with a little flavoring.
Yeah. I always use fruit-sweetened jellies. I don't even want sugar in my jelly, and it's certainly sweet just like that.
So peanut butter, I mean, yeah, obviously choosy moms do not choose Jif. They do not choose.
Exactly.
They choose something that just has peanuts, or like you said, peanuts and salt. That's what mine has here. And, yeah, you got to mix it up, and if you like it warm, then you're going to have to stir the jar for a couple of seconds before you make your sandwich, and if you really can't handle that, then you, like you said, put it in the refrigerator. It's not.
You know, we do have this luxury of having a refrigerator, but most foods should be eaten fresh and quickly. And the idea of saving foods for weeks and months and years is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. And once people start on this change, peanut butter is sometimes a good one to just start with.
Mm-hmm.
Say, oh, I love this type. I love Peter Pan, or I love, that's it. And they're branded by that.
Yeah.
And they go and say, okay, I read the ingredients. It's got hydrogenated oil. I got to find one without. Then they pick one that just has peanuts, and they go, whoa, this tastes really like peanuts. This is good. what else is out there? What about cashew butter? What about almond butter?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Almonds. Now you've got a whole new world of peanut butter and jelly at your fingertips with the cashew butter and the almond butter and real peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. Well, my partner used to struggle with weight, and his parents used to always tell him not to eat peanut butter and not to eat a number of things, and now he's a slim vegan and very happy about it, and peanut butter is one of his favorite foods, and he has it whenever he wants. And, you know, even though peanuts are a high-fat food, I think there's something in the hydrogenated vegetable oil that does more damage than regular fat.
Well, you know, that was probably one of the, the most eye-opening pieces of information we found making our movie was the whole fat phobia thing, where everyone's afraid to eat fat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just such a broad generalization. It's kind of silly. It's the type of fat. Absolutely. And you just kind of proved it without even knowing that you did. You can certainly eat fat. We have always eaten fat. There are three main nutrients in our food, and they're called carbs, protein, and fat. Everything is one of those. So this whole idea of being afraid of fat is silly. It was pretty much that message came from the USDA and their pyramid, which the guys up at Harvard will tell you was built upside down. And that pyramid should be flipped where fats and oils almost should be the base of our diet, and things like peanuts. Peanuts have a lot of protein and a lot of natural fat, and those are awesome sources of energy.
Well, another thing that people don't know about is that we need fat to deliver certain nutrients to the body. Some nutrients are fat-soluble. I often say that I'm always encouraging people to eat a lot of greens, leafy greens. I'm drinking a green juice right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to eat these foods with a small amount of fat, a small amount of nuts, or a little peanut butter, or something yummy to help transport those nutrients to the right places.
And some of them are made out of fat, things like hormones,
mm-hmm.
building blocks.
Yeah, we definitely need fat. There should be some really basic nutrition classes out there, because every decade it seems like one of the macronutrients gets a bad rap. So we had the fat decade where fat, we were fearing fat and everything was no fat and low fat, and then we had the carbohydrate decade with no low carbohydrates. You know, we can't live without protein, carbohydrates, and fat, but they have to be from whole, real food.
Well, hopefully we're moving into just the chemical-free era where we'll just eat natural protein, natural carbohydrates,
mm-hmm.
get away from all the heavily processed, chemical-laden foods, and I think we'll be a lot healthier for it.
Are there any other foods that are at the top of the list to watch out for?
You mentioned corn syrup. I kind of put that in the category of wheat, soy, and corn
mm-hmm.
are pretty much the foods that are subsidized by the U.S. government. So that's what we see in most of our processed food, is wheat, soy, and corn over and over in different ways, different packagings.
Yeah. Well, soy is another thing that people are very confused about, because a lot of the bad soy is genetically modified, not organic, and highly processed.
Exactly.
And the simple soy foods that are organic and not genetically modified, simple soy foods are healthy foods. The Chinese have been eating tofu for 2 million years.
Exactly, and it's not the soy that's in our processed food. So there's a big problem there. But I put high fructose corn syrup and processed sugar at the top of the list with MSG, monosodium glutamate.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
It is, and we actually took it out of our movie, the original cut of it, just because it was so overwhelming at first for people to hear about everything that was bad.
Yeah, isn't that unfortunate? You have to stick to one thing. We have such a reductionist kind of mind where we can only concentrate on one thing, or we get overwhelmed and tune out.
They completely tune out. It's very, very true. It's the only way to go through this process. Say, okay, this month I'm going to take hydrogenated oil out of my house. And by the end of the month, it's going to be in none of the product. Next month, we're going to work on MSG. The following month, we're going to get corn syrup out, aspartame, and pick a new one and go down the list. But I say hydrogenated oils, aspartame, corn syrups, MSG, those are right at the top of the list for just extremely unhealthy foods.
Well, but another problem is when you eat in a restaurant. So many of them use things, and you have no idea what's in the food.
We were so surprised when we were making our movie, and we called almost every single major food chain asking about partially hydrogenated oil, foods had it, foods didn't. Like, for example, we were going to go to Outback.
Mm-hmm.
We call that, say, what has hydrogenated oil in it and what doesn't? So, oh, stay away from the salad because it's got partially hydrogenated oil in the dressing and in the breadstick that we serve you.
Mm.
So you get triple doses of hydrogenated oil and going to a salad as opposed to a steak at Outback.
Mm-hmm.
So what we tell a lot of people is you got to get away from the restaurants. First off, it's just so expensive. People don't realize how much money they're spending there. And when you start getting out of the restaurants, you can use that money for healthy food at the grocery store or at your organic co-ops or wherever it is you're going to get your food.
What's that other Italian food chain? That's
Carrabba's?
Oh, I can't think of it right now, but they're always advertising you can get unlimited salad and breadsticks.
Oh, that would be
Olive Garden.
Olive
Garden. Talk to them?
Yeah, we did. And I believe their breadsticks are partially hydrogenated
yeah,
oil.
Yeah, probably.
That was 2 years ago, and people are really starting to get hip to the hydrogenated oil thing, especially with the way the labeling law has gone down. I mean, are you familiar with that?
Let's just talk about labeling for a second. So people can get confused because a product can have partially hydrogenated vegetable oil in it, and yet they may advertise that it has zero trans fats.
and trans fats come from partially hydrogenated oil.
So do you know how they get to say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
The label trick.
Yeah, the good old label trick. That was because the food manufacturers lobbied the FDA to have the label law written so that you can have up to half a gram of trans fats in a product and still label it as zero.
So you could make the serving size really tiny, and then all of a sudden it has no trans fats in a serving.
And we're pretty certain a lot of them were doing that, actually changing the serving size.
Mm-hmm.
So say if you had 3/4 of a gram of trans fats in your 8-cookie serving, well, now we just have to go to a 6-cookie serving to get it down to 0.4. As long as we're under 0.5, we can label it zero. We put no trans fat in big, huge, bright red letters on the front of the package.
Mm-hmm.
Customer thinks they're safe.
Yeah, and that just reminds me of the old days, and it still goes on today, where products are labeled low fat or reduced fat. And it's another trick, because the reduced fat product or the low fat product, or I forget exactly how they label it, but the amount of fat is actually the same or not significantly different from the full fat product.
Yeah, there's a lot of tricks out there,
mm-hmm.
and that's why when we teach people how to read labels, we really, really focus on reading the part that says ingredients. That's why we named the movie Ingredients.
Ingredients,
say,
yeah.
You know, you look at the front of the box, and that's what the food company wants you to know. You flip it over, and then you got the fat and the sugar and the protein breakdown and the calorie amount, and that's kind of important, but nowhere near as important. If you can hone in that on that ingredients section and see what actually they're putting in the food, that's when you where you can find these products, and you'll easily be able to tell if you should be eating it or not after reading exactly what's in it.
Did you have an opportunity to talk to any high-level people that manufactured some of these questionable foods?
No.
No, because what what I always wonder is, well, you're a parent, and many of these people are parents, and I just don't know how they make these foods knowing that children are going to eat them. And greed, it's just a really powerful thing.
It's a really big part of the story, and that's why we put it right in the title of the film, that whole greed aspect. I don't know how it happens, but it seems to happen in all aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Of.
So how long is the film, and what do we find when we watch it? I watched it was a while ago, and I'm going to have to look at it again, but it was really informative. But what are some of the highlights that people would discover?
Okay, well, the final cut of the film is 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And in that 1 hour, which we trimmed that down for a one-hour TV slot and 1 hour class period for schools. The first version was a little bit longer than that, so we cut a few things out. But what you're going to find is, we're going to tell you what a trans fat is, a hydrogenated oil. We have some animations that go through how they're made to really get it in your head why you shouldn't be eating them. We break down what heart disease is, diabetes, and obesity. We really teach you how to read the label, explain in detail that labeling law we were just talking about, and then really, the second half of the movie, we start talking to some of the legislators, that actually pushed forward to have trans fats removed. And then we start talking about why, if it's bad enough for New York City to ban trans fat out of all restaurants, and it's bad enough for the state of California to ban it, why does the rest of us have to consume it?
Mm-hmm.
And how that happens. And then in the end, we kind of wrap up and say, you can't blame the government, and you can't blame the food companies, and you can't blame the FDA. You've got to take responsibility. It's a crazy world out there these days. There's lots of propaganda. There's lots of misinformation, disinformation. Most people know this inherently. They do. So we say, you got to take the responsibility for what you're putting in your mouth.
Well, that's an age-old philosophy.
And we live in a toxic environment, and it's tough to get clean water sometimes, clean air, clean food. But the one thing that you're constantly putting in your body and growing and developing on is the food. So it's the easiest way, I think, to to lead a healthy life.
It's all about food. That's all I'm about.
Isn't it?
Finding the healthiest, cleanest foods that make you look good, feel great, age slowly, have lots of energy, reduce the risk of disease, and live a quality life. Why not?
Why not? I mean, that's what we do when we get together with our friends, our family, our loved ones. As we get together, we want to eat and talk, and it's just kind of part of our culture and as humans.
And what I discovered, and many other people who follow this path discover, is the food. Listen out there, the food tastes better.
That's the biggest thing. We didn't even know half of these vegetables that we eat now existed.
Mm-hmm.
My wife brings me home a new vegetable every month. She goes, look what I found. You
yeah.
ever had a purple potato before? Where'd you get that? Got it at the organic co-op. Okay, let's try it.
Right.
Wow.
You know, there's so many reasons to get away from the processed foods, not just because of everything you've been talking about, which is really, really important, but we really want to support local farmers, small farmers, rather than this giant out of control agribusiness that grows really poor quality food and is destroying the growing lands of the country.
I can't get behind that enough.
Yeah.
We use local organic co-ops to get our organic vegetables because, quite honestly, the grocery stores are just too expensive, besides the fact that it's a big, huge, multi-billion-dollar corporation that I don't need to promote. But the reality is you can get your vegetables easier, cheaper, and better tasting if you go somewhere local.
Right.
And you know exactly where it's coming from.
Excuse me. We have a few more minutes. I want to talk about French fries.
Huh. Okay.
Now, French fries use hydrogenated oils in a lot of the processing steps, not just in one place. That's like you're very often getting extra partially hydrogenated vegetable oil sometimes with some French fries.
Yeah, and it's absorbed into the fry. A lot of times they will par cook it, and then they'll freeze them, and then it goes to the restaurant where they finish cook it
in more partially hydrogenated
one last time
yeah.
to get that nice glistening hydrogenated coating on it. And then more often than not, they'll serve it to you in a restaurant with some sort of dipping sauce that's got hydrogenated oil, too. Sauces and gravies are a huge culprit for this stuff.
With hydrogenated oil in them.
Yeah. But like you said, with French fries, people eat a lot of French fries in this country.
Yeah, and, you know, they can fancy it up and serve it in some really nice packaging and make it look really high quality. But if it's got partially hydrogenated oils in it, it's deadly.
I say grab some local organic sweet potatoes, chop them up into French fry-like blocks,
mm-hmm.
sprinkle some olive oil on it and salt and pepper, and get them
and
in the oven
them.
And have the best fries you've ever had.
Oh, I was just talking about that this weekend, and that's like one of my favorite foods. They are so easy, and I can't eat a French fry, not because I know what's in them, although that's really significant, but they don't taste good. The oil kind of coats the tongue right away.
It's a bit greasy. When you get used to a little more natural diet, you actually lose your flavor for a lot of these extra greasy, overly processed foods.
Okay, so what do people do if they want to see this documentary?
Well, the easiest way to see the documentary is to go to the website you gave them, ingredientsmovie.com. Make sure you spell ingredients with two E's. You can order a copy of the DVD. I'm being told that my wife, Robin, she really manages Cerebral Films, and she wants to offer anybody listening to your show a two-for-one. So
great.
If you go on, you order a copy of the movie, put It's All About Food at the top of the list under your name, say under your last name, and we'll send you two movies for the price of one. So that's the easiest way to get it. And
well, thank you. That's really nice. I think this is a great stocking stuffer.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great for Christmas. You can order a copy for $20, and you'll get a great stocking stuffer to give out as a gift for the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And when you're on ingredientsmovie.com, you'll see where we are offering all kinds of reduced price on screening packages, where a lot of people that order our movie, you're going to find this funny, are people that already know the information.
Right, right. Mm-hmm,
most people that we sell movies to are buying the movie to share because they have a raw food gathering or an organic co-op or on and on and on. There's so many of these tiny little groups that care, mostly local groups, that are trying to get the word out about healthy eating. And the easy, what we've found for them is we offer them screenings and we give them free movies to sell at the screenings so now that they can actually make money for their organization.
Wow, that's really nice.
Yeah, and then they can get a little evening together and show the movie, get a discussion going. It always gets great discussions going. And that's
what we've been doing. You give talks as well?
Yeah, we speak at schools, we speak to companies, we speak at churches, all over the place.
Great.
So it's a lot easier if you're local in Florida, but it's certainly possible if you're anywhere else, too. Just contact us online. You'll see under Contact Us button, Robyn, R-O-B-Y-N, at ingredientsmovie.com. She handles all the interviews, speaking engagements, screenings, and DVD sales.
We just have a few more minutes left, but I want to end on a positive note. There have been lots of companies that have taken the initiative to improve their products. And I should have made a note of which ones, but Triscuit, I think they don't have partially hydrogenated vegetable oils anymore.
No, they don't.
And what about Ritz?
Ritz?
Yeah, okay, you don't have to know.
I'm not sure.
Not sure. And
they were quite a culprit for quite a while. We've been having to look for an alternative.
And Oreo cookies.
Oreo cookie, now that is a big segment in our film. The CEO of BannTransFat.com sued Oreo because they had so much hydrogenated oil in them.
Wow.
And they were marketing it as a health food.
That
they actually removed, that was the beginning of the banning.
Okay,
they removed
that's
the trans fats and started a whole movement.
That's a good way to end. People are really making a difference. So thank you so much for your time this hour and for creating this great movie, Ingredients. Go to the website, ingredientsmovie.com. Thank you, David Burton, very much.
Thank you very much for having us on. And, enjoy the wonderful song by Mr. Lennon.
Yeah, we're listening to Imagine right now, 30 years since the death of John Lennon. Great lyrics. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Have a delicious week.